From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Lessons from Joshua Sending Spies to Jericho. In Chapter 2, we find the record of Joshua sending the two spies to scout out the city of Jericho. As the battle for the city loomed before them, the people were naturally apprehensive, and the report of the spies gave them much confidence. In addition to meeting the people's deep-seated need, Joshua also established sane ways of assuring the people of the will of God. On the previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns emphasized the importance of using biblical means of determining the Lord's will. The first step is to look for corroborating evidence of God's will. Then it is necessary to find the first and best starting point. In this case, it is the Word of God and prayer. Today, Dr. Cairns stresses the importance of the reasonable use of means, as well as the heeding of the personal witness of those who have experience in this spiritual endeavor. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to address the implications of the death of Christ.
Death is the common lot of all men. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, weak or strong, or young or old. There is an appointed day. Death is the common lot of all men. But one death stands out from all the rest, and that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Others have to die, whether they like it or not, and in almost every case they don't like it. Even the Apostle Peter was one who did not want to die. The Lord Jesus said that when you're an old man, they will take you where you don't want to go and do what you don't want to do. So we have to die. We have no say in the matter. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. He said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again." So when he died voluntarily. He gave his life. Others die because they are sinners. They die ultimately because of sin. In Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. So we die because we're sinners. He died to atone for sin, the sinless one bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Others, when they die, are overcome by death. Death defeats their life. Death destroys the union of their body and their soul. Death cuts them off from their friends and their loved ones. Death spells the end of every earthly purpose. We are overcome by death. Not one of us has ever whipped death. However, the Lord Jesus overcame death. In dying, he destroyed death, and him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How do we know that he overcame death? Remember the word that I quoted from him, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again." he challenged those who rose up against him in his early ministry, referring to his body as a temple. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And that's exactly what he did. He rose again bodily from the grave. The Bible says about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here is the good news of the death of death in the death of Christ. The good news of the atoning death, the successful propitiatory sacrifice offered by Christ at Calvary, through which he has satisfied God, met the demands of the law, purchased eternal redemption for all his people for whom he gave his life. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose again. His death has overcome death. To use the words of Paul, he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you know this living Christ? Is he your Savior and your Redeemer? Have you entered into life eternal through him who said, I am the resurrection and the life?
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts. We want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly Let the Bible Speak magazine. In the next issue, Dr. Michael Barrett, president of Geneva Reformed Seminary, presents a series of articles in observance of the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version of the Bible. Also, there'll be a mission focus on the country of Bulgaria, as well as Any Day Soon by Jill Saunders, drawing vital lessons from a young Christian girl's battle with cancer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
And I personally go along with the commentators of Scripture who think that Joshua sent the spies out because he believed that's what the Lord would have him do, that God commanded him so to do. So what was he doing? He's saying, here is the will of God, but here's your opportunity to prove it. Now, his procedure is a lesson to us all, and from it we may learn ways to be sure that we have the Lord's leading. Number one, look for corroborating evidence of a personal conviction of the Lord's will. Something else you learn about knowing and doing the will of God. When committed to any venture, find the first and the best place and manner to begin. Many a good work has been compromised by a poor start.
You can bring that, of course, right down to a very personal level. Many a good day has been compromised by a poor start. Sometimes, and you've found this, haven't you, many a time, you go to bed grumpy and you get up even grumpier. We have a saying in Ireland, you couldn't like you if you reared you. You understand the feeling. That's the way you go to bed, that's the way you get up. What happens? Things are getting, I know in my own case, things are just running away from me. I haven't time to do what I'm supposed to do. Everything seems to be getting out of control. Your sleeping pattern's all upset. You get up in the morning, you're shaving time, as well as faces, you're shaving time, and you don't have the time to spend with God. You don't have the time in the Word of God. You don't have the time to spend before God. Devotions, that abominable word for personal communion with God. Not that there's anything wrong with the word, but because of what it's come to connotate, or connote, should I say. Listen, we just go through a perfunctory performance, and then the rest of the day is wrecked. Where do we go wrong? The first point of attack, the first way of approach. It's not only true in a day, it's very often true in a life. It's very often true in a new venture of Christian service, establishing a church, opening up a new mission field. Joshua teaches us the first and best place and manner to begin. And then he teaches a very important thing, and that is that we should always be willing to employ a reasonable use of means. Now follow carefully. The Lord had said, go over Jordan. So what did Joshua do? Well, now the Lord has told me to go over Jordan. He hasn't told me anything beyond that, so I'm going to sit here and I'm going to twiddle my thumbs and I'm going to wait for another lightning bolt from heaven. No, it's not what he did. The Lord said, you're going to go over Jordan. So immediately Joshua took the reasonable, logical steps to deal with the situation that he would face when he went over Jordan. An awful lot of people think that the revelation of God's will relieves them of the duty of personal, careful preparation. And it doesn't. A lot of people cover up their own personal laziness under the cloak of spirituality. Well, I'm just waiting for the leading of the Lord. Listen, I tell you, if you're sitting around doing nothing for week after week and month after month and year after year waiting for the leading of the Lord, you're not waiting for the leading of the Lord at all. You are being disobedient to the leading you already have. God told Joshua, go over Jordan. And Joshua immediately took the proper, reasonable, logical steps, because he recognized something we need to recognize, and that is that the Lord does not promise a special new revelation for every step we're to take through life. You know, to listen to some Christians talk, you'd think that every fundamentalist had become a raving charismatic. You'd think that you had to have a special revelation from God to know whether to put on your right shoe or your left shoe first in the morning. You don't. God isn't obliged to give it, and he doesn't promise to give it. There are some things about which you don't need any special revelation. For instance, holiness, separation unto God. You don't need any special revelation of God's will. If you're a member of an apostate church, a church in the World Council of Churches, seeking union with the Church of Rome, denying the very foundation of Christianity, hey, you don't need any revelation from God to tell you what to do there. He says, come out from among them, be separate, don't touch the unclean thing, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that never can mean, whether in Hebrew, Greek, English, or double Dutch, it can never mean go in, throw your arms around them, have fellowship, let your light shine, and stay among them. It can never mean that. So there are some things about which you don't need any further revelation. God has spoken finally, and that's it. You do it. There are other things you don't need any special revelation upon, because God has given you a brain. And he's already said, this is what I want you to do. So you take the logical steps about doing it. When the Lord lays a great work in our hearts, like Joshua, that's what we should do. Take the reasonable, logical step to accomplish it. And if the Lord desires anything else, he'll stop you. This is how Paul lived. Sometimes we think that Paul lived with his head right up there in the clouds of heaven and that God dictated every little step that Paul was going to take. But that's not how it worked. God set Paul apart to the work to which he had called him. Now, when you go to Acts 13, where do you read? Where do you read that God told him which city to go to next and all in this order? You don't. He took it in a perfectly logical, reasonable way. When you come to Acts 16, you find that he was going to continue like that. And in verse 6 through 10, he saw Mysia. That's the next place to go to. So I'm going to go, but the Lord stopped him. He said, well, I'm going to go there. The Lord stopped him. Those were the logical things to do. And Paul lived his life that way. I have the master plan. I'm called of God to go and preach and to be a minister and be a missionary. And I'm in the area that I know the Lord has put me in. So what do? Sit here waiting for a light from heaven to tell me whether it's this town or this town I go to first? Paul never even dreamed of that. He just went. And if he got the sequence wrong, the Lord stopped him. And then the Lord sent him into Macedonia and into Philippi. Seeing ways of knowing that we're doing the will of God. My time is gone, so I'll summarize the other two great benefits of Joshua sending the spies. He taught the people, not only in that age, but every age, the power of witness from personal experience. The power of witness from personal experience. Time forbids that we go through the scriptures in that this morning. But let me tell you, when you put yourself in that crowd of Israelites, see the spies coming back. Listen to what they said. Their testimony, their experience must have had an electrifying and stimulating impact and effect upon the people who heard them. All the Lord has said is true. We have seen and heard ourselves. We have proved it. You see, testimony that illustrates the truth of the Word of God brings the doctrines, principles, and promises of God's Word before the people in a way that grips the heart and commands the will. That's why the Bible uses it so liberally. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Ye shall be my what? Witnesses. Why? This is God's way of working. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, what did he do? Did he hold an open air meeting in Jerusalem? No. Now, if you and I had been doing it, this is what we would have done. We would have held a vast open-air meeting. We'd have all the crowds there. And Jesus would have stood up and said, here I am, alive from the dead. But he didn't do it that way. And he was right. You see, he said in the great portion of Luke 16. If they don't believe the word of God, they'll still not believe though one should rise from the dead. And if he had stood before them, the high priest would have whipped them up again, and their own pride would have made them reject him all over again. And they would have said he never really died, and all the rest of that nonsense. So what did he do? He appeared to his disciples. To people who knew that he was dead and who knew that he was alive. To people whose lives were transformed from craven cowardice into mighty courage that moved the world for God through a personal meeting with a living Savior. And in so meeting with them, he laid a factual, historical, and evidential framework upon which every generation that followed could prove the resurrection of Christ. And today it is still one of the most certainly historically verifiable event in history. Yet, we undervalue witness. No, Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses. Peter said, we are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost. The psalmist said, come and hear, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Could I say to you, that's what Greenville is dying for? Greenville is hundreds of churches. It is all the religion in the world, so much religion that you would choke on it. What this area is dying for is people who are real witnesses with a real experience of a real Savior who can meet real sinners and say, come and hear what he has done for my soul. I'm not out to make you a Presbyterian. I'm not out to make you a Baptist. I'm not out to convince you of my scheme of eschatology. I want to tell you what he's done for my soul. Oh, the power of such a witness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.